Shadow Main, Shadow 1-7. I'm closing in on the source of the signal. Over.
Shadow 1-7, Shadow Main acknowledge.
What the fuck?
Shadow 1-7, what do you see?
It's just,
What do you see?
It's just two skeletons and a ham radio. Over.
Say again.
I say again, two skeletons and a ham radio.
You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Mad Tower Radio. I'm your host, Dan, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan and Christian.
What do you do?
Hey.
And I'm a little high strung, a little high energy tonight, you know? I don't know what's gotten into me. You know, maybe I took like a little 20-minute nap earlier on the couch, and I think it just brought me back to life.
I like that. Those cat naps are powerful. They do stuff to you.
Oh, dude, I take them all the time. If I got like 20 minutes to kill, I'm like that, dude. And I just nap it out. And my wife's always like, that's not a nap. And I'm like, it is, dude.
Heck yeah, it is. Like, those are the best naps to like biologically have. I'm going to be doing that when I'm at my new job, bro, working at the front desk. I'm just going to close my eyes.
Take a quick one, yeah.
They're going to be like, sir, we're trying to enter this building. They're going to, like, look down the hallway to see this man there with his eyes closed at the front desk. We're like, okay, this guy's a wizard. Let's leave.
Yeah, I never nap longer than an hour. If it's longer than an hour, that's just sleeping.
Yeah, it's just sleep at that point.
Yeah.
One of my friends at one point was like, when we were, I was working a touring theater job. It was like fucking like 9:30 at night. He's like, I'm going to take a quick nap. I was like, boy, you going to sleep? What do you mean you're taking a nap?
don't try that.
My wife does that. She'll be like, I think I'm going to go take a nap. 5 hours, she's out. I'm like, girl, I can work a fucking double shift on 5 hours.
No.
That's a sleep. You just did a sleep, not a nap.
That's a big sleep. I love sleeping.
You hit the call running. You were high energy today. I actually woke up at 4 in the morning today and gave up.
Why?
You ever just wake up late at night and you're like, eh, I'm not going back down.
I'm up,
I gotta say. And I took one of those cat naps between like 6:10 and like 6:30. I was like, okay, let's make it happen.
Hey, man, sometimes you wake up at 4:30 in the morning and just gotta hit the French press and, you know, hit the fucking menthol on the porch and get
the
to it.
French press, get it all in one.
That sounds contradictory to me.
Get the motherfucking Newports.
Can you,
you know,
put chaw in a French press and make like tobacco coffee?
Well, before we get too off topic, if this is your first episode of Mad Tower Radio, this is the show where we talk about ghouls, goblins, conspiracies, any unnatural, unexplained horror stories. It's like you know, it's like those shows you see on History Channel or fucking Travel Channel. Except, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We're funny. We have fun with it.
Yeah, like River Monsters.
Yeah.
Hey, River Monsters is real, bro.
A respectable program.
That guy pulls the servants of Dagon out of the fucking, out of the ocean.
By their
mouth. He's like, look at this motherfucker. And he's just holding it and then he throws it back. That guy's invincible.
Truly is. Like that episode where he went up against like a prehistoric fish. He's like, this is a dinosaur I'm hunting. Then he just grabs it with his hands. And I'm there like standing in my chair just like, I'm afraid of water. I don't bathe.
I liked the River Monsters one where he like fished out some like fucking ancient stingray in like off the coast of Greenland or some shit, and he's like picking it up. This thing has like mega cracks, and he's like, "See this thing? It's never seen the sun." And he just fucking throws it back.
Was even a stingray? It was like some star-spawned horror from a Lovecraftian story. And he's like, fuck this thing. Throws it back into the ocean.
I'm like, who is this man? He's too powerful.
We need to have him on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Do you also have for us, Dan, a demon or a beast who's never seen the sun?
Yes, I do. Okay. Today, I wanted to talk about Moloch. Right? So, have you guys heard of Moloch before?
Yes, he's the demon who eats babies from the Bible.
Right? So pretty much like he's mentioned a few times in the Bible. I like see him in like these fucking memes, and it's like LOL when you like sacrifice to Moloch, ha ha ha, and I'm like, who's fucking Moloch, dude? And so today, I just wanted to do a little piece on Moloch, and at the end we have a little current event for you that I would like to bring up, and you know, this is gonna be a good time, so we're gonna go ahead and get into it, right? Moloch. His name is mentioned several times in the Bible, right? In the Hebrew Bible. That's where he comes from. And he is thought to be a Canaanite god, which is a religion from the early Bronze Age. Christian, with the history degree, what can you tell me about the early Bronze Age?
They got chariots.
Oh, they got the wheel?
Everyone's living in mud.
Nice.
They're like... petty, shitty little kingdoms.
Yeah.
That's it. It sucks.
So who were the Canaanites?
In the early Bible, there's this weird, like, blend of prehistory and religion where they, like, name such and such people. Like, we've talked about it a couple times with, like, the Nephilim and the pre-flood uh-huh. giant type people.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Bible... and the Abrahamic faith is this, like, rope that's pulling this history, like, through to the modern era. Some dude in, like, 600 BCE could have met some guy on the street, and that story passes on through legend, and it goes, oh, that's like the Canaanites. They, you know, shoot wizard spells, and they talk to the gods, and it's just some fucking dude.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what's, I think, in Exodus, they have another tribe like mm-hmm. that called like the Malachites or something, and people don't really know who they are, because it's kind of like what you're saying, Christian, like, they may be jumbled together from a bunch of different other tribes that existed during that time, or city-states, whatever you would call them, and they just...
Absolutely.
They could all be the same one, or they're a bunch of different ones, because it's just... Because the records from that time are just so...
Some misidentified society, or two people met the Babylonians and felt different ways about it, so they wrote about them differently in their culture.
So you think, that like it's one of those things where it's like so early in history that like it's hard to tell if it was real or a myth.
Here's the money,
or like a story
guarantee. The Canaanites were probably a group of people who came out of the Fertile Crescent, and they like. We're like, fuck these dudes on the Euphrates. We want to do our own thing and farm our own grain. And then they just walked away and did it.
Ah, okay. That's fun.
But they love Moloch?
Yeah, so Moloch is like, I guess an evil... Nah, he's not evil, I guess, but like... That was the sacrifice guy. Everybody was just like, oh yeah, we sacrifice people and babies and like cattle to Moloch.
Like, have you, like, early Old Testament, the Lord was asking for sacrifices. That was just the haps back then.
It was. That was the haps with the craps.
Jeez, or God was like, hey, split your baby in half for me.
Except that one guy who got on the mountain with his baby and was like, time to split him in half. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was just seeing if you were hard, like, bro.
Whoa, I just wanted to know if you'd do it. Whoa.
I don't know if you're cracked or not. Just a prank, dude. Chill out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Literally on Divine Punked.
They're all about that back then.
Mm-hmm.
Or the ancient gods. They like do a little trolling, if you will.
But, so... You know, Moloch is one of these dirty other gods from the Canaanites, and, you know, the Bible started being like, no, fuck. Like, when the Bible was like, hey, we are monotheistic now, they damned Moloch and painted him as, like, a evil deity that is, like, you know, just a demon that you sacrifice fucking babies to, and he became the demon sacrifice baby. And so Moloch has had a little bit of a complicated history, right? Mm-hmm. So up until 1935, all scholars and historians considered him a god, a deity, and that was that. And they were like, Moloch, I think he's like in their recorded history, I guess if you could call it that, he's like literally the god of fire and sacrifice. Right.
Okay.
And so I literally copied and pasted this because it was so complex I couldn't put it in my own words. So forgive me if I butcher this, but in 1935, a man named Otto Eisfeld proposed on the basis of Punic inscriptions that Moloch was a form of sacrifice rather than a deity. Punic inscriptions commonly associate the word milk, literally M-L-K, with three other words. Apostrophe M-R, which translates to lamb. B apostrophe L, Baul, and I think, I don't know how to pronounce ancient fucking Canaanite. I don't want to like summon Moloch in my fucking recording studio right now. But I think it's like Mer, which is lamb, and Baul, which is citizen, and Dm, which is human being. And Baul and Dm never occur in the same description and appear to be interchangeable. Other words that sometime occur are Basur, which is flesh. And when put together with Mulk, these words indicate a, quote, Mulk sacrifice consisting of blank, right? And the biblical term Lamolech would thus be translated not as to Moloch, but translated as a Mulk sacrifice, a meaning consistent with uses of the Hebrew preposition la elsewhere. And yeah, so pretty much he is arguing that it's not semantics, but I mean like a language thing that we're like, oh wait, this means a form of sacrifice, not a sacrifice to.
Yeah, so it's not like an individual, it's a process.
Yeah, which fucks me up because like it's just insane that we can go eons, because Moloch is mentioned in so much stuff before 1935, right? Like, he's in the Divine Comedy, he's in like a bunch of fucking poems and shit. Like, this guy was fucking famous, you know? And then they're like, oh, whoops, we misunderstood.
The etymology breakdown, I think, was really helpful for me because it seems to run a similar path as the early Bronze Age step demons we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, the title of the demon was, like, ghost of a murderer from the steppe. Like, it's this understanding and process of a phenomenon. It's not exactly, like, a named thing, like you said.
So it's
making some sense to me. Okay.
But then it, like, you know, us with our little fucking piss brains who don't understand an ancient language barely on the cusp of recorded history are like, oh, that's Moloch and he's the god of baby sacrifices. Done and done. Close the book.
Isn't that exactly the, like, crusader exporting of demons? Like, as Catholics went to the Middle East and interacted with these cultures at the turn of the millennium, they would hear about these local spirits and be like, oh yeah, that's Bahamut. That's these more well-known demons that we have today.
Bahamut?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, just like what we're doing now. It's like a misunderstanding of local cultures, and they get back to France and they're like, yeah, dude, I saw Beelzebub out in the hills in Syria when I was on the crusade in Antioch.
Yeah. And so this was challenged again in 1980 when two dudes named John Day and George Hyder argued that the context in some sentences where Moloch is mentioned leave no doubt that he is indeed a fucking, like, he is straight up a deity. Right? So, in Leviticus 25, it mentions whoring after Moloch, their words, not mine, necessarily implied that Moloch was a god, and Dan Hyder nevertheless accepted that milk was a sacrificial term in Punic, but argue that it did not originate in Phoenicia and that it was not brought back to Phoenicia by the Punic diaspora. More recently, another dude was like, no, it does. And, you know, they're just arguing. So some people think it's, some people think Moloch's a god. Some people don't. And the Moloch fan club has been at odds.
The fan club?
Yeah. Anthropology, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, if I could put the anthropology hat on, I think it's interesting. These Bronze Age societies, you know, they're starting to form and sort of like to understand the world around them, and they're getting this value of life, you know, and they're like, what would please a god, like to give them life, because we can now reflect and we can understand that this is something that's important, like the beasts that we grow and like the crops that
for
we
sure.
cultivate. It's pretty for sick. Sure.
Yeah. So moving on to more of like Moloch in culture, right? If you go into the art and culture section on Moloch's Wikipedia page, pretty much everybody in recorded history has just used Moloch as a scapegoat. And it's just super common to see people just refer to something they don't like politically, something they disagree with politically, as Moloch. So, like, Karl Marx, he referred to money as Moloch, right?
It's bad.
During the growth of automobile ownership, a political cartoonist labeled cars the modern Moloch. Winston Churchill referred to Hitler as Moloch. And a man named Gary Wills recently wrote an article referring to guns as Moloch. So, yeah, anything you don't like, you can just feel free to call it Moloch. Pretty interesting.
Loans are Moloch.
It's true. Any other podcast in the world is Moloch. You know? So it's just interesting that it has survived, like, so survived on as just this stupid scapegoat for people.
I'm going to send you right now in the chat the Moloch from Persona 5.
Oh, wow.
I used him.
That's what he looks like.
He was pretty good.
He is depicted as a bull-headed figure with his arms outstretched over a fire.
This guy looks like he's riding a body?
He's like a weird construct type thing in this picture.
Did that golden bull that the fucking
Israelites
were worshiping ever get name dropped? Was that Moloch?
That was Baal.
Oh God, yeah, Baal came up a lot today too.
Yeah, Baal was that was the golden calf. I didn't like cow back then, apparently. I love me some ground beef.
So,
Wait
a minute.
Go ahead.
I've been holding it on the whole time. You just said it, Moloch and Baal. That's just fucking.
Oh yeah, Moloch Baal.
That's right there, right on my lap. What the fuck?
You ain't fucking slick, Todd Howard.
Todd.
Yeah. Those Argonians.
So why did I want to bring up Moloch? Right. Probably a question you've asked yourself by now. Well, if you didn't know it, I'm a bit of a boomer myself, right? I'm sitting here with my white monster. And, you know, I still frequently go on Facebook. And I don't know why, but that's not the point, okay? The point is, I've been seeing this post circulating around the web on Facebook about a one Mr. Travis Scott and his concert.
Oh, fuck.
And before we begin, I would like to say, first and foremost, that what happened there was a tragedy, right? And don't expect me to condemn or defend his behavior or whether or not it's his fault, because that's not what I care about, right? What I do care about is people claiming that this concert and the event that happened there at Astroworld was intentional and was a sacrifice to Moloch, right? And I got some evidence for you guys right here. and I use the term evidence loosely, but let me just say that this is the most boomer-ass bullshit fucking conspiracy theory I've ever heard in my fucking life. It is, it cracks me up. So, pretty much all people did, it's like they'd never heard of an aesthetic choice before. Like, look at this image. It's just Travis Scott wearing a shirt. Where it's there's a like shirt.
Okay,
a blue guy turns into red guy.
A blue guy goes through a window pane and turns into red guy. Okay, is it a little dumb? Yeah, but I don't think that's indicative of fucking Moloch.
Yeah, I'd be more concerned with that. Like, looks like he shit down his pant leg is more what I'd be looking at.
And then look, they just post a picture of the stage and they're like, look at this.
Kind of
like
bang.
What? That's kind of okay. Cool. Yeah, it's cool. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're trying to prove here. You know? And here they go. Here they go. Right before the panic broke out, the quote portal opened. Kylie posted this as a video.
By portal, they mean the lights activated? Yeah,
the lights like turned on.
The lighting designer hit the switch. Like, he
have
his
you ever heard of pyrotechnics? I bet you that right before the panic broke out, he was probably about to hit the fucking bass drop on sicko mode, which if I was a light show designer, that's probably where I would have fucking put the fucking portal opening up too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. You're literally embarrassing yourself.
It reeks of that satanic panic, like just the most base level.
Oh, yes.
Oh, is this some devil shit?
And well, then look down in the corner.
People afraid of like jazz. Like, that's how dumb this like kind of falls in line with, like, oh, he listens to jazz. He must be possessed.
The Moloch saxophone.
Yeah. What's the this portal here in the corner that they're comparing it to?
Oh, that it had a skeleton, so it looks spooky. So they were like, yeah, that's the Moloch portal.
Mm.
They're okay. Like, let's put this in the bottom, right?
How do these people survive Halloween every year?
I don't know. They freaking shelter themselves in their house.
Look at these two, right? Top one, everybody walking into a big Travis Scott head, right? Okay. I mean,
the bottom one is the divine Roman, is the divine.
And then the bottom one, a creepy painting with no context and no connections drawn. They just look similar.
Do they? That's like a homunculus, like with arms and legs and shit. And
there's like a little like peach house in the top left. Kind of digging that.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Like, this looks like a blast furnace, and yeah, people just like to reach for stuff. People like to talk.
They post this one, and they're like, look at this. And I'm like, what am I supposed to be looking at? This is just a cool design. This is a cool aesthetic choice.
Like Lovecraftian almost.
And they're like, eyes? Illuminati.
Eyes?
No, now, let me show you my favorite one. Here's some promotional material for Travis Scott's Astroworld concert.
I remember this. I was alive when this actual, like, Bat Boy article was in this, like, Weekly World Truths magazine.
Who the hell is this guy?
Have you not seen that before? No. You definitely were alive when this was out. Like, those weird tabloid, like, have you seen this?
I fucked Bigfoot.
Yeah, like stuff like that. And it was, like this all, like, this wasn't Travis Scott. It was, like, this, like, white person with, like, bat ears on, and he was bald, and it's, like, it's a bat child. Someone had sex with a vampire or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, this is like a parody of that or whatever, and it says the true dystopia is here, right? Pretty cool promotional material. And then, so in this Facebook post, it posted this, right? And then immediately following it up was this. The definition of dystopia.
Checkmate.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
Take that, liberals.
You don't know the world? You're like, you don't know the definition of this word that has been like the main genre of fiction plaguing us for the last like 20 fucking years is dystopia fiction? Like, how do you not know the meaning of the word dystopia? You know, like, I saw this and it made me so mad. I was like, I gotta do an episode on Moloch, bro. I gotta talk about it.
I don't really understand the point they're trying to make.
They're not, bro. Like, it's what's... the satanic panic. There's no point they're trying to make. They're just like creepy, spooky. Travis Scott sacrificing to Moloch. And it's like, this is truth. This is 100% true. I love having fun and I love delving into conspiracy theories and immersing myself in this world where the frogs are gay as much as the next guy. But like, you gotta look, you gotta do a fucking...
some real reaching.
I need a little more.
You gotta effort. Do something.
Yeah.
You gotta like do a Google search yourself, not just fucking get spoon fed the screenshot of the word fucking dystopia and be like, oh my god, Travis Scott is sacrificing people to Moloch. Go fuck yourself, man.
Well, that's like, that reminds you, like it's funny, but it kind of falls in line with this. It's like, people will believe what they want to believe, and the more they hang out with people who reinforce those beliefs, like you get like those crazy, you know, militant Lutheran team or militant youth, Lutheran youth running around out there.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminds you of like there. I saw this video once, and I think Moist Critical actually also did like, he found it and like just talked about it. But it's a video of like this little like Halloween decoration. It's like a little skeleton that like you click a button and it starts dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And singing like, you know, rock and roll or something like that. And it starts to break down. It's old. And so even without clicking the button, it'll start going.
Yeah.
And this woman and her husband are there screaming scripture at it. And the video's titled Proof That Demons Are Real. And the lady's like, this has been possessed by an evil spirit. And she's just like, and I'm praying in the name of... And her husband's like, yes, pray, wife. And then I was like, oh, man, these people...
Pray, wife.
Get the shit tore out of them from, you know, the comments. And you look at the comments and they're like, you know, I rebuke that in the name of... And like, you know, like they're commenting 10 years later. You know, like, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You know, praise the Lord. You know, like, he reigns on high. And like, I was like, what is going on? These people are just like...
Everybody.
10 years everybody, ago,
I need you to like the video... subscribe to my channel, and then I need you to comment your favorite exorcism in the comments.
If I can get 25k likes, the demon.
I need 25k likes and comments to banish this fucking demon.
But like, it just like, it kind of like goes to what you're saying. It's like, these people will post these things that are such like, they are reaching with the Michael Jordan Space Jam arm to try and like make their point valid.
Mm-hmm.
And but then they get people who are just like, oh, you're right. You know? Like the monster, you know, like the monster energy, those look like sixes upside down, flip the other direction. 666 monster.
Oh,
energy.
Shit. Dan's Moloch.
Love that one. I am Moloch.
I know, and right? I'm over here. I've been drinking demon blood as I would drink so much monster energy before I would do shows when I was in Memphis. So I must be pumped to the brim full of demon seed. That's not what I meant. I meant demon energy. That's not what I didn't mean demon seed.
Damn, Ryan's just leaking demon seed at all times.
Seed, bursting out of my orifices.
Ryan's got demon seed coming out of his fucking nose. It's in his eye.
Oh my god.
That's not what I meant.
Do you, Dan, remember that fucking horrible free Kindle book I used to read in high school?
Yes.
With like
that book made me the man I am today.
There was this like cosmology book that I was pretty into like world building and like magical systems and shit in high school when I was running D&D campaigns. So I found this book on the Kindle store and it was for free, and it just turned out to be like a demon sex orgy book.
It was nuts.
Like the demon god would just like have very, very graphic demon sex all over.
Sounds like dominated by the dog man.
It was horrific.
It was great. So, closing thoughts on demons and Molochs. There's more evidence that Travis Scott is a member of the Akatsuki than there is that he is sacrificing people to Moloch. Take a look at these images.
Like Pain?
Yes.
That's Pain right there.
Travis Scott is Pain.
Oh, yeah. He sent them through the portal that he summoned.
He got up there and he said, this world will know sicko mode.
And any other people said, oh, clearly a reference to Moloch. But you see, Dan, what you just did is you just linked, in their eyes, you just linked Naruto to Moloch, so now they're going to go cancel Naruto.
And in their eyes, this is real.
Naruto is real. Akatsuki. The conservatives are mobilizing their shinobi army to go fight Travis Scott.
I mean, dude, aren't Naruto and Travis Scott both in Fortnite together?
Yeah,
it's true.
The game of the devil.
Dang. It's the devil game, bro.
I heard if you kill every single person on your game, like if you kill all 99 other people, a portal to Moloch opens. Yeah. And it takes you.
It takes you to...
I'm fucking done with you, Moloch, Travis Scott, and fucking boomer grandmas fucking believing everything on Facebook. Fuck this. Somebody tell me about a wacky ghost or something.
Well, if I got something for you. Moving on from Demon Seed, we're going, Moloch is ancient Bronze Age. We're moving a little farther up into, the 19th century. Yeah, the Platinum Age, when Superman appeared. So have you guys ever heard of the Whistling Man? You guys ever heard of that guy?
I'm
no?
Not sure I have, but I'm like, I'm sensing this pattern in the creatures that you're bringing. It's always these, like, dapper chaps.
You do like, bring you do bring a lot of British ghosts.
Bunch of British dapper dudes.
This is from Venezuela.
Oh shit! It's just like the crying girl or like Christian, the lantern dude.
Cut the part where we're racist.
I'm not cutting that.
No, it's not racist. I have done a lot of like European ghosts, Anglo-Saxon white devil colonizer ghosts.
No, I mean like it's like the dude whom taunts and whistles, or the dude who has the lantern. Like you,
they're very broad.
The embodiments
taunts and whistles. I'm actually talking about forces of nature, boys. I'm not talking.
Hey guys, today I brought for you a ghost called the Man.
Well, he the has guy. A name. He has a name. This one has a real name, El Cibón. El Cibón.
Okay.
And but he's also known as the Whistling Man or Whomstediv who whistles.
Whomstediv who whistles.
Essentially, this is like a Venezuelan folklore, and I like going by folklore cryptids or supernatural entities because it's always interested me. You know, I bring like, you know, we talked about La Llorona, and I was talking about like the bunyips and things like in, you know, Aboriginal folklore and things like that.
Yeah.
Like these things always interest me. And so essentially what this guy is, and I remember I originally found out something similar to this because I've seen entities like it appear in real life in front of me. No, I'm just kidding. Do you guys remember the book More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Yes.
So in one of those stories, I remember the story actually really freaked me out. There was a story where this boy went to go get some water from the well, and his mom said, go get the water from the well. And he's like, Mom, I don't want to go out there. There's someone whistling outside. She's like, go outside and get the water.
Fuck that.
He comes back in. He's like, and like later on, she's like, it's nighttime now. I should go get water from the well. He's like, Mom, there's someone whistling out there. So she's like, I don't care. Go get the water. And he doesn't come back.
Ooh.
And so then she looks outside. She sees this light, and she hears this really like deafening whistling. It's almost like whistling a tune. And her son's just gone.
Damn.
Then I read I was listening to this. I like watching, and I've mentioned this before, I like watching scary videos and not like movies. Yeah. I like watching like YouTube videos that talk about these things. And this guy,
Nuke's Top 5.
Chills. Yeah, like Nuke's Top 5, Mr. Chills.
Did you see it?
Roommate's door. This guy was talking about how when he was younger, his mom had told him to come running inside because she heard the Whistling Man. And he was a kid, so he didn't know what that was, and he didn't find out till later. And then later on in life, he was in the United States, and it was on 4th of July, and all of a sudden he got this really eerie feeling. And he was with his family, he was an adult now, and he looked down to the river where the fireworks were going off, and there was a man on like one of those like log canoe things that you push.
Yeah.
Like, the ones where you're standing, and no one else seemed to notice him, and he just was like looking at him, and his whistling was deafening. And he told his mom what happened.
It just whistles?
Like, yeah.
He just so whistles. Loud that it hurts? It's like a sonic attack?
Well, exactly, you know, cognito hazard. But like, I mean, I usually so here's where the folklore tale comes in. And in theory, you know, you hear something whistling coming at you from nowhere. That's kind of scary, right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll get into the folklore and tell you why this guy's kind of not scary and kind of a punk. So essentially, there are three different versions of this person, this whistling man, El Cibón. So he's from Venezuela, like I said. So the first one is about a boy who killed and gutted his father.
Oh?
because his father raped his girlfriend because the father believed that his girlfriend was promiscuous. So after he...
I'll show her.
I know, right? Yeah, just like, you know, like... you know how these stories are. They just don't make any sense. And when we're looking back, it's like, why did he do that? Like, what the fuck? But so the boy takes vengeance for what his father did. Now, the boy's grandfather finds out that, you know, he just creased his son. Christ. So what he does is he ties the boy to his back and then destroys his back. He breaks apart the boy's back with lashes. And then he puts boiling chili powder into the wounds. And then he calls a hungry dog and called a tureco to bite his ankles. So apparently this grandfather could also summon these paranormal entities as well. So he's some kind of wizard, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And essentially what happens is here, the boy is all crumpled over for the rest of his life. For eternity, he's been cursed. So he's running around with these boiling chili pepper powder in his back. His bones are broken. And he has a dog biting his ankles for the rest of eternity. That's the first version.
That's fucking... That just sounds like... kind of annoying.
Yes, it's kind of bizarre. The second version of this guy is a boy, like a very spoiled boy, and one day he wanted to eat animal entrails, which is like, you know, chitling, stuff like that. You know, it's not unheard of, you know, especially in Latin culture. We eat like pig eyes, pig feet. We eat cow stomach, that's tripe, menudo, things like that.
I love the tongue, bro. Yeah.
So do I. Lengua, tacos de la lengua. I love that stuff, but it's not unheard of. So when he says, I want to eat some animal entrails, his father goes out hunting, but he doesn't come back with any animal entrails. So I'll give you a guess as to what the boy does.
Starts whistling.
No, he wants entrails, so he takes his dad's. And so he takes his father, he guts his dad again, and brings the entrails to his mom to be cooked. So what happens is the mom realizes, hey, these are my husband's, and somehow she knows. You know, you've been with a man long enough, you could tell his entrails apart from the other guys. So she finds out the entrails are her husband's, and so she gets together with her husband's father, and the story goes as usual from the first one, with the dog and the chili and the beating. Now, the last one was a little different. In this one, the boy was rude to his father, and he was capricious boy, and he went hunting with his father, and there was a twisted tree that stepped in their way. Stepped, not was there. This tree somehow stepped. And so the boy says, Dad, straighten that tree out. And Dad says, no, a twisted tree can never be straight. And so, and then the boy, this one's more of like a fairy tale, kind of like it has a message. So the boy continued to be a horrible person and rude and, you know, very spoiled and treated other people poorly. And he grew up and his body twisted like a tree. And, you know, prior to that, his father had told him, if you continue to act this way, you will never change and you will grow up twisted like this tree. So, you know, he does the good, the tried and true, and he guts his dad. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so, because he's done it three times at this point.
Yeah, just gutting pops.
But essentially what happened in this third one is, and this is where kind of the, more so this modernized version of this entity comes from, the boy grew up. Once the mother caught him again and the grandfather caught him, and his body twisted like a tree because it was almost like a curse of that. You've done something so horrible, you can never recover from this. So you will grow into this twisted version of yourself, kind of like the twisted man or the crooked man. So he leaves. But for some reason, they never explain why, but he whistles. That's how you know that he's coming around, and he whistles up. Like the scale. That's how you know he's like coming towards you. If you hear that in the distance, deafeningly. He goes up the scale full, then goes down A, B, C, D. So it's like he goes up A, B, C, D, and these are musical notes, and then goes down E, F, G. So you hear that from far away. That means that he's about to appear next to you. So this is what he does.
Don't like.
He likes to pull up on, He like anytime during it's dusty or the rainy season, for some reason he favors those times. He likes to pull up and take vengeance on drunk men by beating them with a stick and then sucking out their alcohol and eating their visceras. But how? How does he do this? He sucks all of it out through their belly button. So he gives them a reverse deadly raspberry and sucks all their guts out through their belly button.
That's a little sus. I don't like that at all.
There's other like signs of his coming. Like if it's like raining outside, you hear the sounds of bones clattering, and that means that he's outside. And like if someone hears it, and no one else does, that means whoever heard it, it's kind of like the hellhound. That means that they're not going to wake up or they're going to die soon, stuff like that.
Oh my god.
But you know, it's just kind of like I again, like I was saying, I think it's kind of spooky. The initial setup, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you hear like something whistling in the distance and you're mm-hmm. supposed to be by yourself and you're in this wooded area in Venezuela. And, you know, there's this folklore of this twisted boy, because I liked the third version more than the first two, because he just seemed like a psychotic killer.
Right, right.
First two, the third one's like he's like something twisted him to be like this twisted creature. I was like, all right, that's crazy. You know, and you hear that, you get scared. And sucks out all your alcohol. And I stop being scared after that. And I'm a little more annoyed than anything.
It's great. I like that.
So do I. It's just like a, you know, like a D-class cryptid / Keter entity. I remember I looked it up because I was definitely scared about it because I was like, you know, like I remember growing up and reading that, which is clearly some form of adaptation of it from More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And I remember being so messed up from that book and the stories in it. I was like, man, if I remember it from here, it's gotta be scary. So I went back and I read it again. I was like, man, that's scary. Then I looked up like what mm-hmm. it was based on. I was like, this is not scary.
What you bring? Like recently you've been bringing a lot of like this stuff where you just like, you go really in depth with like the story and the tale. Mm-hmm. Like I'm never really telling a story. I'm giving you like a fucking like profile. Like this and the info that if they were like, kill this thing, everything we have on it.
Like a freaking dossier? Like,
yeah, like I'm giving you like a dossier to go hunt down this fucking thing. Like, and like, you're telling me a story. You're encapturing me.
Hey, man, that's like the theatrical side of me, man. Oh, one other funny part about this guy, he carries around his father's eviscerated body in a bag and he hits you with it. That's what he hits you with.
That's what the bag is. I've been looking at this like picture of him.
Yeah, the pictures of his dad, and that's bits of his pops he carries around.
That's like the dudes in Yahar Ghul.
Oh my god,
the bagman.
Bop your ass with the fucking sack.
Dude, that's Yahar Ghul and Hypogean Ghul are two of the scariest areas in that game for me. Nothing else freaks me out more than those areas.
Those are great.
Reborn, whew. Can't wait till Bloodborne 2 comes out and takes place in Mexico.
More like the fun Reborn, am I right, fellow Moloch worshippers?
See.
Oh, yes. Of course.
I have my tickets to Travis Scott. You know that guy's going to jail.
What if Travis Scott started going, like, halfway through sicko mode, the one Reborn portal starts opening up?
I know exactly what to do, man. I just break out my freaking
Roland.
Chicago.
I pull out my Hunter's Axe, bro. Start doing the double spin.
What are we going to get, commissioned fan work of us drawn as hunters from Bloodborne? That's the real question.
Oh, when I have money. Oh, it's the holiday season, brother.
Don't worry, then I'll have to holiday gift it to the channel.
Is there any way to like
size replica of a hunter's axe?
Defend myself from the whistling man? He seems pretty all powerful. Like you hear the whistling and it's over. Like can I like put like some saffron in my ear or something to keep him away?
Just fucking shoot him.
Of course.
Just carry the nine.
I didn't read that far into it, and I usually don't read how to beat entities, so I always stay scared.
I always stay
on my toes.
No, sir.
Yeah, but I think Dan, you know, says it well. You know, a lot of these entities exist before a time when conceal and carry was about. So
yeah,
you know,
like
when to go had, pulls up. And you just
do you think the whistling man has ever seen a 40-millimeter grenade launcher? No.
I don't think he has.
Fucking blast his ass. Send him to the fucking Shadow Realm.
Like he's like, you see that man over there? Or like the Lantern Man, but you see that light in the distance? And there's our buddy with his RPG. He's like, yeah, I see him.
blows them
fully automatic gunfire.
But yeah, I wasn't sure, and I didn't look up if there was a way to fend off. Cause I know, like with some of the other ones, I would explain that there was like the Lantern Man. If you threw a light source somewhere else, he'd run away to that one and start like stepping on it because he's kind of a baby. But I'm not sure about this one, and that kind of keeps it scary for me because it was between this guy and a demon in a Mexican mind called Nahuel, or perhaps this entity called El Tío. But I wanted to work with the Whistling Man today. Maybe I'll save Nahuel or El Tío for another day.
El Tío? Like my Tío?
Yeah, like fucking Tío Frank or something.
My Tío, you would put on the Scream mask and scare me my entire childhood.
I remember you telling me about
he just puts
you
on
guys
the,
are just like my Tío, my papa, and I'm like, yeah, my dad and my uncle.
Dad. Papa.
my pops.
Pops took found my dip, beat my ass. But yeah, so that is the Whistling Man, Esteban.
Let me rattle the boys back together, gather it back on, and take my turn on the wheel. Today, I've got for you the story of a real-life Swedish witch.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I was a little slow at the beginning of my week hunting for a topic, so I was like, fuck it. Let me get a list of like really cool witches, and I'll pick like the most interesting one I find.
I hope it's better than the witch that I talked about. The Bell Witch fucking sucked.
She's a bit of a better witch.
Wasn't the Bell Witch the one that just like, I don't like your family, and they killed him or something?
I haunted your house, but yes. It's $5 to come see.
Yes, you condensed it down real well. She was like, fuck you, John Bell, and then just terrorized his family for 3 years and then killed him.
Nice.
Our story begins in the 17th century in Sweden. And it is the story of a girl named Malin Matsdotter.
Mm-hmm.
And before we jump in, I want to park a little bit on the naming conventions of peasants in Sweden in the 17th century. So her name is, like I said, Malin Matsdotter. She has
father a man named Matt.
You're picking it up. She's got two daughters named Anna and Maria, Eric's daughter. Can you tell me what her husband's name is?
Eric?
$500 on Eric.
Exactly. And Eric's name is Eric Nielsen. So it's your family name is just your dad's name, son or daughter.
Love it.
And I was reading this whole story, and every single person's name ends with daughter or son. And I was like, wait a fucking second here.
That's how you like meet Swedish dudes named like Bjorn Bjornsson.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, so these fellas, they're going through what is called at the time the Great Noise. This is between 1668 and 1678, in which about 300 people or so are killed for the crime of witchcraft. There's a bit of a tense situation going on in Sweden as people are interacting with the Sami people. Have either of you heard of this ethnic group or religious group?
No.
Sami people are a, like, as north as you can get, northern European people. They were a pagan, shamanistic folk who were, over the course of, you know, Christianization, excluded and forcefully converted to Catholicism.
Yeah. And so if there was a show called Land Monsters, that guy would have been like, see this guy? He's never seen the sun.
Because he lives so far north.
Throws him back into a cave.
And over the course of this decade or so, the Great Noise, it's very similar to, you know, the Salem witch trials, this great frenzy that we always like to talk about. But this one is way more like bloody. Like the Swedes, bloodthirsty. The
main, really?
Suspicion was that witches were kidnapping children and taking them to their ceremonies to sacrifice mm-hmm. them. And there's one story where a bunch of kids were said to have survived the trip to the ceremony.
Yeah.
And they beat all the kids. Because they were doing devil shit.
You fucker, you got kidnapped by the witch, you fucking piece of shit.
Exactly. They're like, you've been tainted by the devil, we need to beat the Satan out of you. So, like, straight up...
Makes sense to me.
Barbarism going on here.
Barbarism. Mm-hmm.
And Malin Matt's daughter is the exclamation point to this story.
Yeah.
So, first off, she was... married to Erik Nielsen, like we said. She had two daughters, and she was maybe believed to be ethnically Finnish. She spoke Finnish and gave her prayers in Finnish.
Yeah.
And this, while it probably didn't lead to the sort of cultural disagreements we might like imprint on somebody who speaks a different language and lives in a different country than what is their home language and home country. There was a degree of separation from Malin and her community. First off,
okay.
In 1668, her husband is executed for fucking his cow.
What?
He had sex with a cow. And they were like, you gotta go, son. Your time's up.
Exile's not on the table.
And they cut his head off.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
I believe they cut his head off. I don't know if that's true, actually. But
yeah.
The thing is, the crime was... What the hell's the word? Not confessed, admitted to, snitched on. That's what I'm going to use. The daughter snitched on her father.
What a traumatic thing to walk in on.
Yeah, that's a little fucked.
She said that, like, there wasn't a good home life, and that she told somebody once that her father was on the cow like a rooster's on a hen, standing up on a bench.
Oh no.
I was like, oh my god. So that right away, they lose the father and they family's in disarray.
Mm-hmm.
As you can think. She then remarries a man named Anders Arendson. Son of Arendt.
Ah, yes.
And the bad home life continues. The daughters don't get along with the mother, who doesn't get along with the father-in-law, and they eventually separate. Like, the kids and the new parental units sort of break away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at this time that a majority of these witch accusations are coming from kids, because of the claim that kids were being abducted and taken to the witch's Sabbath.
Yeah.
So, the oldest daughter, I believe, Anna, begins to spread the rumor that her mother is a witch. She tells people that they've made many trips to a particular part of the country that is prone to witchiness. Like, late at night, they would just go and meet these strange people in the woods that the daughter didn't really understand what was going on.
The druids.
Exactly. And I'm going to give you the name of this sort of region. Tell me if this sounds a little sus. There was supposedly a lot of witches' sabbaths to Satan in Blockula.
It is not called Blockula.
You mean like the cereal?
Literally, Blockula. It's like the Devil's Island off of Sweden.
Fucking A.
And I was like, that sounds a little on the nose, Sweden, don't you think? And so she's, you know, she's brought in and she's made to suffer this long, like, drawn out trial to really prove that she is a witch. And the reason I wanted to bring this story up is I find it really interesting that there's such a in-depth account of this particular witch trial in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order for the people of Sweden to prove somebody is a witch, you have to go to court. They're not burning you first off. The problem of witching had become so vast at the time that there was a commission of witch hunters for the state. And that, first off, if your country starts to invest all of this energy and to give you all of this reason to believe that there's witches out there, it's only going to fuel the fire.
Yeah.
Like, how are those witch hunters going to pay the bills?
Imagine if, like, the budget for 2022 gets leaked early, and then we see somewhere there was $300 million allocated for, like, extraterrestrial extermination.
Yeah.
What was going on there? So, the tests that she has are to recite a creed or to repeat the Lord's Prayer to her in court. And Malin is kind of unable to do this. She, like I said, she speaks Finnish. She's not really adept in Swedish.
You fucked up.
And she can't really read.
Ah, that's so the kicker.
They'll put prayers in front of her and say, "Can you read this prayer for us?" If you were a witch, you know, you probably couldn't say a prayer. And
yeah, you can't really win that one.
The tricky part here is 1571, so 100 years prior to this, the Swedish Church Ordinance of 1571 passes, and it says everyone needs to be able to read. Everyone's got to read the Bible, so you have to teach every single person in our country to read.
Yeah.
So now they've got a legal justification for, like, kind of giving her the short end of the stick here.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess.
Her first husband is a noted cow fucker.
Ah, yes, the cow.
Tried and true. So not a good look, if I'm going to guess. And
yeah, not what you want.
The oldest daughter says that the midwife who had served in the birthing of Malin's first and second was also a witch, and they checked the records and found out that this girl, Anna Zippel, was tried for witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And was,
why are you letting those people around your kids in the first place?
See, this is where Malin drops the ball. She says, I, you know, if I did any witchcraft stuff, it wasn't me. It's because Anna was around and she did all the witching.
I mean, she, you know, you remember, guys, you did try her, remember?
So she's starting to, like, throw people under the bus to try and save herself.
Kind of a thing with this family of narcs is what I'm getting.
And I'm really seeing, like, a bad family dynamic in this household. So once she is understood that her own family is going to definitely, like, push to testify against her, there in the record states a clapback so vile that they, quote, could not put it in because it was too offensive for decent ears, that the mother would go into this very intricate detail of how horrible and how nasty her daughters were, that they weren't upstanding women to be able to give this testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes just like a shit fight in the courtroom.
Insulting each other.
Mm-hmm.
just thanks a family meal at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, pretty much. Fuck, I haven't been to Thanksgiving in like 3-4 years, bro. So
you don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
And I don't gotta be like that. So the final nail in the coffin, and this one sucks personally, is they find her to be super sus because she's so convicted, because she has this dignity to herself that she like resists all the interrogation and that she stands up for herself, and they're like, oh, no woman would obviously be able to resist our investigation. She would crumple if she was a mere woman, so a witch must be backing her up morally. Like, she must have some power to resist us.
What the fuck?
Sure.
You, like, you get to the point where they've already made their mind up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, if she's a witch, she'll float in the water. If she's not a witch, she'll drown. So, you know, it's a win-win. And Malin is found guilty of witchcraft. She's sentenced to death. And so as they're starting to decide what is going to be her form of execution, they are given three options. And here are the three traditional routes you have to execution if you are caught for witchcraft in this time. You can be decapitated. And your body burned.
Okay.
You can be tortured first. And then decapitated and burned.
Why would anyone make that choice?
It's not her choice. It's the court's choice.
Oh.
Like, should she just be decapitated and her body burned? Should she be tortured first to suffer for her sins to be decapitated and burned?
Yeah.
Or should we just burn her? Get it over with.
Yeah.
And at this point, there weren't really a lot of burnings. Like, they weren't really into that. It was mostly decapitation. They kept it into what they saw was, like, a more merciful, a more moral execution.
Ah, yes.
Right.
And one of the people in the courtroom suggests, oh, well, like, if we're gonna burn her and she's gonna die too quickly, like, she's not gonna suffer from it, so we should like brand her a couple times so she really feels the heat, and then we'll burn her. Like, just the most heinous, like, bloodthirsty, horrible shit I've ever seen in a witch trial.
Uh-huh.
So they eventually arrive on no, we don't really want to torture her. That's not really our thing right now.
So yeah, yeah.
They are going to burn her at the stake,
mm-hmm.
and offer her a mercy. To make it quicker, they are going to attach a bag of gunpowder around her neck with the hope that it will ignite, explode, and sort of end her suffering a little quicker.
So like the Fallout slave collars.
Okay.
Is that what happens in Fallout?
Yeah, you could, like, pop a slave collar on someone, and that's, like, it'll, like, blow their head off if they run too far away.
Yeah.
It's something pretty horrible like that, yeah. So, they take Malin to Stockholm to be executed, and all of the reports say that she was dignified. She was silent and brave, and refuting to the last breath that she was not a witch. And that only helped to further their belief that, oh, she's withstanding this burning. She's not screaming. She's not begging for her life. Clearly a witch. Case closed. We got her. And it was such a powerful, such a troubling sight that, like, the whole of Sweden began to be like, maybe we should stop, you know, executing people. That's it's getting kind of gruesome, folks. Like,
yeah.
Jesus. Like, that's so sad.
This one had such a profound effect on, like, the country as a whole that only one person was burned after this for mystic reasons. It was a Sami shaman who they burned. And by 1704, so less than 30 years later, there was the final execution for witchcraft in 1704. So they were like, we've kind of had our fill of this bloody business. By 1779, it's illegal to serve the death penalty for witchcraft in Sweden.
Thank God.
I know, I mean, 1779 is a little...
Well, we're not going to execute people anymore, but have you guys heard of this thing called the lobotomy?
What is this thing called? Shipwreck? Marooning?
Exiling?
Now, here's where the tricky part comes. There's a bit of a snaggle at the back end. While the witch craze is coming to its end at this time, the power of the accusation had grown so large that kids were starting to understand that they could get people of, you know, societal importance into a lot of trouble. So as noblemen are starting to get accused, and, you know, people of wealth and people of stature, they now begin to think, you know, maybe a child's testimony isn't the most reliable thing for executing people. And
really?
Kids start to go on trial themselves for providing bogus testimonies. Including Malin's daughter. Malin's daughter gets in trouble with the courts for causing ruckus with bad testimonies. And they're like, oh, well, maybe she's also a witch. You know, her mom, you know, the girl who birthed her were witches. Maybe something's going on here. And they eventually, since they've moved past the death penalty by now, settle on having her whipped. And I believe...
And Nanaid.
Shut up.
I couldn't resist.
I believe when she came out to the field for the whipping, a bunch of people, like, broke it up. Like, interrupted the affair of Anna's like, quote-unquote justice, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that pretty much paints the entire picture. I hope... I always seem to end these episodes on kind of a downer. You know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit of a downer, but, you know, that's cryptids, baby.
Sometimes they get you. And the big thing about this one is they don't even tell me, like, what cool witch shit she does.
Yeah.
She didn't, like, cast a spell. She didn't entice or seduce or mystify anyone. All it took was, like, an accusation.
She just got fucked.
She just didn't read a book. Absolutely.
That's a little bit of a downer.
Like it I think blends with the Zenfreda abductions episode of like how the energy of this and the suggestion of this can like build to become its own monster separate from like the monster we're describing.
Yeah.
And witchcraft's fucking crazy. Like we all get a hoot and hee-haw out of the Salem stuff these days, but
Yeah.
It popped up in a bunch of different places in a lot of really gruesome ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I mean,
That's all I got for you.
That's sad.
I found her. I was like, this is an interesting story, and I thought it would be a little more lighthearted when it started with cow fucking, you know?
You know, usually it can go either way when you start with something.
We love some, you know, lighthearted cow fucking on the podcast.
But, you know? Speak for yourself. That's well, it's this was more of like a sad story, because anything with witchcraft scares the shit out of me, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed, you or our listeners, I'm Latino. I feel like I don't mention it enough.
Fuck. Wait, you're Latino?
That's right. You see the color, the brown in my eyes? I'm a brown person, and my eyes are brown because I'm full of shit up in my eyes. No, but that's huge. Like, brujería is huge in Latin culture.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know this isn't tell, you know, your own personal stories day, but my family has some really fucked up witchcraft encounters. So hearing stuff from witchcraft, like my fight or flight mode kicked in. I was like, I hate these things. Like, I can deal with a demon any day, but hearing some of these witchcraft stories, that stuff scares the bejeebies out of me.
Oh yeah.
Makes me mad.
Well, I mean, I think that'll about do it for this episode of Mad Tower Radio, folks. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up at supermadtower@gmail.com, at Mad Tower Radio on Twitter and Instagram. If you know me in person, feel free to get a hold of me, and I'd love to share your stories on the show. We've been doing some stuff to diversify some content. By the time you hear this episode, it'll already be out, but we launched a new, I guess, gaming series. Hey guys, welcome to our gaming YouTube channel. We launched a series where we play horror games called Rogue Signal. Don't get worried, don't get scared, you know, like, change is hard, but if you don't like it, just listen to the podcast like you've always been doing, man. It's all good. Podcast ain't gonna change.
We like the video game videos, so we're gonna keep making them.
Yeah, I enjoy it, so that's fine.
It ain't no thing, girl. Just relax. Be all right. And if you do like it, we got more in store for you. You know, and we got some more videos coming this weekend. We're gonna do
special too.
Something special, yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
Ooh.
And you know, I think that's gonna do it for us tonight. This is Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.
That's me bowing.
What is
I love it.
That, is it an American Horror Story where they have that stupid whistling track that plays over everything?
I don't know, dude. I've never seen American Horror Story.
Okay. They have some good series. I don't remember if it's...
And then there's like a rap song over that track as well. I don't know, dude. There's like...
It's a Sonic Adventure
2. My wife just called me a liar from the living room. She made me watch like 3 episodes of American Horror Story Coven.
Bring her on the show right now.
Jess.
Get her in the call.
Come here. They want you to call me out because I was caught in 4K. Oh, she got right up.
Bring Ash the cat with you.
When it's, can you hand me this? She's like.
Has Jess been on the show before?
I always take an opportunity to call it out. And he's full of shit. He's watched like 6 episodes. Don't let him fool you. He's and the entire time he was like, this is so bad.
To be fair, it is so bad. Thank you, honey. Thanks for being on the show.
Just get Ash on the show.
Wait. Just you fucking wait.
Wait till he starts whistling in the backyard and looking in the window.